This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We will spin the wheel of misfortune. Who knows what we're going to play at 5:30? Nobody knows.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to find out. I have been told it may shock the world. That's all I'm going to say. Just a minor tease. A minor tease. Nothing crazy. I don't want to, you know, get into too much hyperbole here. But
shock the world.
Shock
how
the world.
So?
Well, it might be something we've never done before. But
oh boy,
it may be something people really want to hear.
I want to hear. I'm all in. I'm fired up for that.
Okay, so that's in about a half an hour. We'll spin the wheel of misfortune. Ray will join us in about 5 minutes. We'll get his comment on the Joe Buck revelation that he and Troy Aikman, just a cocktail or two before the game, just to kind of loosen up. And his explanation was it was because they wanted to remember, we're just calling a sports event here, which I get. But you're not tailgating. You're not a hooligan in section 315. You're being paid millions of dollars, and millions of people are watching.
Yeah, but dude, people have a couple beers at lunch and then go back to work, and it's like million-dollar business deal. What the hell's the difference? If you're not pissed drunk, who cares?
I'm not saying I care. I'm not saying it affected their job. I'm just saying right. He made it out as if it was just a matter of fact. Like, hey, out with the boys, and we're just playing golf out here, guys. It's like that is your job.
You're right.
To call the game.
You're on the clock.
Yeah, like you are, people are employing you to call the game. I think it just says that Joe Buck has reached a point in his career where he doesn't care.
He does whatever he wants.
He does whatever he wants. He's making a fortune. He's the man at Fox. He's going to continue to be. And he's like, yeah, I'm popping off. I'm talking about what Aikman and I used to do 10 years ago. Whatever.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. If he felt that way, then he should have, shouldn't he have? Isn't he one of the guys that was offered to, like, live broadcast, some sex tape and all of that type of stuff?
Yeah, he was the guy that said people were sending him sex tapes during the pandemic, and they wanted him to do play-by-play.
Yeah,
and
to stay sharp.
And he revealed that publicly. Yeah, to stay sharp, exactly. And eventually he had to tell, DeGeneres to stop sending him tapes. I'm sure he's still getting them to this day. I'll bet he still receives at least one tape a day from an absolute disaster of a couple saying, Buck, we really need this for you. We need to keep the spark alive, and we need your call.
Yeah.
Speaking of keeping a spark alive, do you guys see the video that Tom Brady posted on his social media accounts?
It's awesome. I love talk radio as the headline.
I love talk radio, and it's a montage of different media analysts down in the States saying that Brady is done, he's going to fall off a cliff, it's not going to work for him in Tampa. And there were a lot of people that said that. A lot of people that said that. A lot of people that had that belief. And obviously Tom Brady shut a lot of people up, which he has been doing for quite some time. And is this potentially a little bit corny? Yeah, a little bit petty, maybe. A little bit beneath him, possibly. But I'm with you. I kind of like it. Like, when you're the athlete and other people talk about you all the time and rag on you and try to drag you down or whatever, this is harmless. Like,
dude,
own it. You just won a Super Bowl.
You saw the Last Dance where Jordan was like, yeah, I went out to dinner. That guy didn't say hi to me, so that pissed me off, and that fueled me to win the championship. It was, like, ridiculous things like that time and time again where I don't know if they just need something to fire them up and they purposely do this, but they keep receipts, man. I think the greatest keep receipts more than anyone else in sports.
But Jordan admitted to making that up. That's the scary part. Remember he said that the one coach didn't say hi to him.
Like, yeah, George Karl.
George
I think
Karl,
it was George
like
Karl.
Yeah, it was George Karl in Seattle. They were in the finals, and he saw him, and he's like, okay, you don't want to say hi to me? Okay.
How dare you?
But
then Karl said, Karl's response was, if I did go and say hi to him, he'd say, how dare you talk to me before the game? What do you think, we're friends?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to get – basically – when you are wired that way, you are going to find motivation. You're going to interpret it in a way that is going to motivate you. I just don't know, and I don't buy that Tom Brady is watching ESPN to get motivated or listening to talk radio and thinking, now I'm going to put the work in. I think he's naturally wired that way. I think he's a freak.
Yeah, and he has a team that puts together those videos, obviously, which I think is a major trend with pro athletes these days and their brand. It's like 2 minutes after Brooks Koepka won in Arizona, there was like a little highlight clip of him saying, you know, good to be back. And then there were some good shots and the game-winning chip or the tournament-winning chip. It's like, I think everybody, Xander Schauffele, same thing. He has like, after every round, can't wait to get at it tomorrow. Then there's like viz of him throughout the day hitting good shots. I think that's a big part of the branding for athletes these days, is to have a little social media part of their brand, what they're doing, because that gets clicks. People click on that stuff.
No, I think it's smart, especially if you're an independent contractor. I think if you're in golf, eventually your contract's going to come up with Nike, Adidas,
Under
Armour.
If you're one of the top players, show your good shots, or show the drive, show the little spinning chips, show all of it.
Absolutely. And on top of it, prove your following. Like I saw, not that this guy needs any help with anything in life, but Cristiano Ronaldo just hit 500 million followers.
Ridiculous.
Across social media. I believe he's the first. I know he's the first athlete to do that. I think he might be the first person, period, in the world.
Right.
Like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. 500 million people follow this guy.
His DMs?
His DMs must just be a landmine.
Holy Christmas.
We should sneak in there. The grappler should send him a DM. Any chance we could sneak you in at 6:45?
Dude, it's 500 million people. He's got 7 years of DMs to read.
I'll bet you he filters through.
Some of them are Rick from Keswick.
Oh, yeah. You know, Ronaldo jersey and nothing else.
Exactly.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
If you guys can slide in and pull that interview, I'll even accept, hey, can you push your interview back 15 minutes?
Okay. We'll ask him for 5:05, and we'll see if he responds.
I'll be like, I can understand that.
You know how great that would be if the grappler actually sent him a DM saying, hi, it's Keith, radio station in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, wondering if you could give us 7 or 8 minutes of your time. Please return my message.
I did that with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, come on and see if you can talk soccer with us.
Right. We want to talk soccer with you as much as possible.
He'll be like, what about football?
Yeah.
Who are these hillbillies?
We don't call it that over here. And it's going to have to be 5:05, maybe rescheduling, because there's a chance, Jimmy VC might come on.
The Leafs are going to bump him exactly like VC or, Jason Spetz is available. So we're going to slide him
in. Going to have to move this around. I don't know if you got my other DM, but I wrote you back asking if you could change times. So, did you just say that you sent a DM to Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
And?
He has one of those Twitter accounts where it's like, it's just an open DM, I guess. So I was like, hey, man, I don't want to get in.
What are you, Joe Buck? Why would you admit to that publicly?
It's for the show. DMs. I said, hey, like I thought he would see, I'm a former athlete too. I got the blue check mark. I'm legit, and I got a radio show up in Toronto. Do you mind coming on for 10 minutes?
Okay, I like that.
It's worth a shot.
I didn't realize that it was a request. I thought you were
flush. That would have been a complete flush.
That one. Oh, that is an absolute crawl on top of the stall and sky dump on that DM. Like as just massive.
It's very graphic.
Dump.
Yeah, that exactly. Quite literally what he would do to his own phone just to throw it out and get a new one to send a message to you that you would never receive because you wouldn't know he'd be doing that. How did you respond to our boy Joe Buck admitting that he and Aikman would just have a drink or two before the game to loosen up before a call?
Sure. All right.
Ray, do you think Aikman would have called him?
What are you doing? Would you not say?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Why put that on me to answer that question down the road?
If you want to say that you've had a glass of red before you went on the air, go ahead, knock yourself out. Just leave me over here and just leave me alone. I got enough of them. I'm sure everybody goes, look, I got enough of my own things. You know, and my people are, you hate my team, you hate my quarterback, you hate my... I don't need them getting on top of me for this, too. Like, just let it go, man.
It'd be so great because Joe Buck, I mean, he is what he's a great broadcaster. He's been around forever. He's done it all. He's seen it all. And I just think he's at that stage in his career where he's like, I'm just going to talk and be honest. But I could see Aikman taking issue with that. I could see the NFL taking issue with that as well, thinking we don't really need this out there, prefer to avoid those topics.
One of our top teams is having a few drinks at halftime. Like,
right.
Yeah. Who wants to read that, right? Like,
no.
if that's the case, like, come on.
Not ideal, for sure.
No.
Leafs Ottawa tonight, and how would you define this? Is this a redemption night for the Leafs, or is that hyperbole? Is that going a little bit too far? I mean, what are you
too
expecting?
Too far for me. Hey?
Okay.
Too far for me. And the reason I say that is the 8 games before, they didn't give up any goals.
Right.
That we were actually complaining about that they weren't scoring enough, even though they were winning. It's not pretty. It's not offensive. Blah, 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 blah. Then they have a game where they're, you know, for 39 minutes, they're dancing around like the Harlem Globetrotters, and then they lay an egg. And so, I mean, had that come on the heels of 4 other ones, then I think there's something to be concerned about. I look at it like, nah, you're not going to play it right all the time, and it was disappointing, and you'd like to think that they could have, you know, put a plug in that at some point, but it happened. It's one game, and I'd be more surprised, guys, if they play crappy tonight. I think they'll play well tonight.
Ray, if you had the responsibility of sitting down with Tavares and Nylander, would it be positive clips of the past? Would it be some negative ones to get their head out of their ass? What would the plan going forward with those two to get them playing better? They've been spotty, definitely. They're not producing. They've got to be better. How would you handle it?
For me, I think I would show the plays that I think they're not very successful with right now. I'd show them clips of themselves executing those plays. And so for me, it's about they just don't seem, I think I said this yesterday, they don't seem to extend the play in the offensive zone very much. Like, they're fine if they have the puck, but when they lose it, poof, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So I would show them goals and chances that they've generated over the last couple of years where they don't have the puck, they get it back, and it ends up in the net. And it might not even be their goal. It might be them turning the puck back over, you know, getting the puck back. I think that's where the hole in their game is, that if they have a chance. I mean, man, you want of the guys to shoot the puck, you'd like those two guys to have it to shoot it. But I don't think there's enough volume to the chances they get because it ends too quickly, too often. So I would say I would go more of the positive stuff, to mainly because these guys have been around long enough and they know. I mean, I'm sure they're well aware of what their stats are and what it looks like. So I would say, look, this is what I'm talking about right here. See that? Good play. Good cycle. We lost the puck. You got it back, and some other guy scored. But it doesn't happen without you getting the puck back.
You know what? I was thinking about this last night. This is a team that's 11-3-2. You know, statistically, they're at the top of the standings, Northern Division, and at the league. They're feeling really good. And, you know, don't you think both of those players are going, like, we'll be fine. Like, that's all I could think about is, like, and again, I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm like, this market is looking for something to chew on where it's like, hey, you should be happy you're 11-3-2. I mean, am I wrong with that? Like,
No,
like,
you're
it's
you're
not about
wrong.
Chewing on it. That's the wrong word. But it's like, instead of focusing on what you have, you're focusing on, well, you know, that guy hasn't scored. I mean, individually, you can pull storylines. I get that. But In a bigger grand scheme of things, this is one of the best starts they've had in their history, certainly in recent memory for a lot of people. But yet, there's still like a cloud over it, if that makes sense. Like, I'm sitting there going, okay, yeah, they had a bad loss the other night, but it's bound to happen, especially when you're playing 5 games in 7 nights. Like, you know, I get it, but I also don't get it. Whereas I think any other fan base, or that's not true. I think if you're taking a step back, you'd be like, hey, we'll take that every day of the week. So
it's scars that have been here from past teams.
Right.
That, you know, all of a sudden you're like, yeah, that wound is getting a little bit fresh. Like, maybe, because in a week from now, all of a sudden, if they lose 3 or 4 in a row, it's like, wow, here we go again.
Right.
But also, it's such a big fan base. There are people that are fans that are naturally optimistic and fans that are naturally pessimistic.
Correct.
And it's just that is what you get. And you get it with any big team, and especially a team that hasn't won in a long time. Yes, they're 11-3-1 or whatever they are right now, but they haven't been to a Stanley Cup final in over 50 years. So, you know, Bills fans, Browns fans, there's a lot of big, rabid sports markets where I think that's what you get. If there's one sign of, this is kind of like 3 years ago, that's what you get. And I think that's what we've seen the last couple of days. I understand what you're saying, and I'm with you. I would be more optimistic today than I would be any other year over the past handful. I think they're in a really good spot, and they will continue to be in a good spot. But I think that's the explanation.
So my thought on that, Noodles, would be, you know what guys think. So say you're the goalie, like you're playing the team's 8-4, and your save percentage is just okay.
Yeah.
And you're giving up one that you shouldn't on a lot of nights, but the team's playing really well. And you could look at it and go, hey, we're 8-4 and it's a good start. But you know, you're like, damn, but I haven't been good enough.
Right.
You don't have to go tell everybody, but you know yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I think from their perspective, is that no matter what anybody else says or talks about or writes about or anything like that, they know that this is not enough from us.
Right. It's also the public version of an assistant coach pulling you aside saying, we're cooking pretty good right now, but please don't fall into the trap of think you particularly individually are playing well, because you're not.
No, and I get
that. And it's out there and it's public, and it's the front page version of it, whether you like that or dislike that or whatever you think of that. It's basically not letting two players hide behind a team's success, saying you're just along for the ride. It's wins, everything great. The bottom line is they're not playing well, and in this market, you're not just gonna win like best record in the league, and they're still being called out for it.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, go ahead, Ray. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, how many times have we talked to a coach, or remember when we were playing, and your team's going along, and you say, hey, man, nice win last night. And the coach goes, yeah, but did you see our power play?
Yeah.
Like, it's always something. Because how often do you go, oh, my gosh, they killed off 5 penalties. They scored 2 power play goals. They're 5-on-5. They had 55% of the chances, and they won 3-0. Like, what a game. Like, that never happens. It rarely happens. So there's always something to fix. And no matter their record or not, I mean, certainly it's nice that they've got this record, but there's something to fix, and it's easy to find it. And so now the curiosity point is, how do you fix it? And what's going to happen with it? And it's one game with Hyman. I do think that's that type of player, and him in particular, can go a long way to what I was talking about earlier. I think that can help them. But it's not going to be one game. And even if they had one great game, you want to see it over 2 or 3, and you go, okay, now they've started to turn it.
Yeah, and I think in terms of the reaction from the general public, a lot of times you're at the mercy of your reputation and your history.
Yep.
And we can use 2 teams in this market alone. The Raptors won a title 2 years ago, and they start 2-8. They've been pretty bad at times. But a lot of fans are like, hey, they'll be okay. You know, it's all good. Like, Kyle will figure it out. Nick Nurse is a great coach. They got a winning culture. The Leafs just can't sit back on that. That's what I think it is, Noodles. As outrageous as it might seem to an outsider or whatever, I think if you've been riding this wave for a long time, if you're a Leaf fan and you've been following them closely for a long time, you're just always waiting. Until they close it, you're just kind of a little bit nervous. And I think that's really what the reaction is.
And it's fair because, like you said, it's revisionist history. Well, we've seen this. You know, the other day you had to respond to somebody on Twitter and say, get real. Well, here it's David Ayers all over again.
That was worse than the David Ayers loss a couple of nights ago.
You're right, because that's what people fall back on, because they don't have anything else to fall back on. So I get that. But I also I think there should be an ounce of perspective of going, okay, well, you know what? Like, we have this record, and actually we haven't had all of these guys firing on all cylinders. I thought about it today, and I was talking to Steph about it. You know, right now we talk about Edmonton being a one-line team. That's kind of how the Leafs have been. It's Matthews and Marner every night that are producing, and then it's bit pieces here or there. Like it, and that's what, you know, Edmonton, basically when they win games, it's those two. And, you know, they've had some more support from their defensemen lately. They've had depth scoring. And it's just unique. I guess that was my point, where you're seeing a team where that top line has been so good in Toronto, and then everyone else is still struggling to find their consistency, but yet your record's still good.
Yeah, you're in a good spot. And
guess what? That's a pretty good place to be.
Absolutely,
it is.
Okay, so here's another great example, and we would be talking about this if we ever watched the U.S. teams play, but since we never watch them play anymore, we don't know. So Boston just broke up Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand, because they have no balance. And so they moved Pastrnak, they flipped DeBrusque and Pastrnak. So Pastrnak's now playing with Krejci and Nick Ritchie.
How long is it going to last for, though, Ray?
Well, it might last for a game or two. The whole point is somebody else is doing it too. They're a one-line team, and they're like, you know what? We need more. So can this help get DeBrusque going, that we could actually have two lines scoring? Of course they're going to go back to that group. But it's the same thing. My point is, it's another good team in another city with kind of the same sort of issue.
Right.
Well,
there's always something.
And then on top of that, we could be in Buffalo, where they're doing it again.
Jesus Murphy.
Right? Like, they're doing it again. And Jeff Skinner is getting paid $9.5 million. He barely plays.
He's got one assist. He doesn't have a goal.
I know. I feel bad, though. You're right, and we can sit and throw stones at them. These team been sitting there for 2 weeks doing nothing.
That hurts over the last two games.
COVID has just jammed them up.
They weren't 8-0 prior to COVID. I mean, but
my point being is, like, it's like New Jersey won last night coming out of it. Like, it's these teams that have played 9, 10, 11 games, they're sitting here watching. Like, I can't imagine that the lack of rhythm you're being in. You guys know what it's like to not skate for 2 days.
It seems like Buffalo's that team, though, Jamie, where they're like, they seem like the poster team, where it's like looking at the scoreboard every night, other teams winning, and when you're already in a hole, they're probably so overwhelmed, saying we're behind the eight ball so much right now, it's almost like we're already done, and it's just a miserable mess there again. I actually feel bad.
That's where the fans will not give them any layups.
Right. None. Yeah. Like, because Eichel, you have your wishes and demands, and you got 3 goals yourself. Taylor Hall's got 1 goal.
Yeah, and Skinner's got 0, I believe. You're right. Like, I'm not defending the lack of production. What I'm saying is, I can't imagine as a player trying to get into a groove and feel good about your game, and you're trying to do that, and then it's like, we're shut down because somebody on another team coughed in our winger's face, and then they got it. I can't remember. Was it New Jersey that they played?
Yeah, it was. It was Jersey.
And they got shut down, and then it was like, like all hell was breaking loose.
It's terrible.
The coach was sick.
It sucks. But they were 4-4-2 before, you know,
right.
And they haven't been even within range of a playoff series.
Right.
But here's kind of what you're both saying, or you've all said, really, is that, so as they're sitting there for 2 weeks watching TV and watching the games, and they're falling farther behind, even though they're not doing anything, they're just falling farther behind. At 4-4-2, that's a fine start. You're okay with that. You're right in the mix. You know, like, at that time you're thinking, okay, we'll get on track. Now guys haven't scored in a month because they haven't played. They haven't scored. And, you know, like, nothing feels smooth or easy, or it's like everything is like spitting nails. And that's, man, they come back. They don't get a shot in the third period against, you know, first of all, they come back against the Islanders, right? Oh, yeah, great news. So you come back, they just check you into submission. You don't get a shot. And then, oh, good, look at that. We got 1 goal the second game. Then Minnesota starts yesterday. They get shut out in L.A.
Yeah.
So two teams that had been shut down for a couple of weeks, they scored 1 goal in 3 games. And now they're all going to play more than every second day.
Yeah, climb on that. Like, Colorado comes out of it. They lose 1-0 to Vegas that first night. I watched them play last night. I don't know where you guys stand. The jerseys on both teams were, I think, are the worst in the league last night. Those helmets for Vegas, and Colorado has nice maroon colors and then weird blue pants.
I love the blue.
But it doesn't go.
Okay, Noodle. So I don't know whatever your favorite color is. Mine is blue.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I kind of like those blue pants. I'm with you. I'm not sure it matches anything else.
It doesn't match a maroon sweater. Like, I'm like, it just looks, I'm watching it on TV, and I'm excited to see McKinnon, and Fleury's been playing well, and it was a pretty good game. Like, Vegas can play, and so can Colorado. But I'm so distracted by those awful helmets, and then I'm like, what the hell is Colorado doing with this color scheme? Because it just is a little off for me, personally. I was agitated as a fan watching it last night. Now, I can't be the only
I can't
person.
Imagine those will be the uniforms come playoff time. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, those golden helmets, they've been in the rotation now for the better part of a week. They're
0-2. Maybe that's some. Maybe the guys look at each other and they just laugh at each other. They can't even keep a straight face. They go, man, do you look like you look ridiculous? and then the guy's looking at them and going, yeah, guess what? You look ridiculous too.
Yep. So yeah. That's true.
It is a bad look. And when they're all on the bench together, it's like you need sunglasses. I'm not a fan.
It's so awkward. Bright. It is so bright. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. McDavid might hit his 500th point for his career, so I'm sure we'll talk about that tomorrow. And the Leafs against Ottawa, amongst some other big storylines throughout the league.
Did you see that if he gets his 500th point tonight, it's in the exact same number of games as Crosby?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's
369,
wild,
right? Like,
that's
369?
That's bizarre. I'm like, that's crazy. And Sid, of course, was doing it when, you know, not that the games are wide open now and not to take anything from McDavid, but you know, that wasn't exactly a high-flying era when Sid came in. Goals were kind of hard to come by.
Well, he's been a rock star his whole career, as we know. But I think that is probably the comparison moving forward. That's a good topic. We'll get into it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you're chasing Gretzky and Lemieux. Just based on the eras, it's a different world. But McDavid and Sid, that's probably your comparison for the next 15 years.
Yeah. Well, write it on your chalkboard. We'll get to it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll make sure to write that down. I'll forget it, but someone will.
Or get your daughter to write it down. She'll get it right.
That's probably a more appropriate way of going about this. All right, man, unless Ronaldo's on with us tomorrow, we'll chat at 5:05.
Okay, well, good luck with that. That would be a nice call to get. I'd love to get that.
You'd support that. You'd support that rearrangement of your calendar is what you're saying.
I could do that.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Have a good night. Have a good night, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. If you're looking to lower your car payments, downsize your vehicle, or trade in two cars for one, visit MapleToyota.com or book an in-person appointment. The grappler has shot his shot. He has slid into the DMs of Cristiano Ronaldo, asking for an appearance on this show, unpaid, and he needs to be in a good mood. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. So put it down. I mean, as of now, positive Wednesday, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
He gets 500 grand in Instagram post.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's right. But
he doesn't
maybe
need
he
the
wants
money.
To come on and promote Toronto. Toronto's a big market. I don't think he's cornered Toronto, right?
Okay.
I mean, that could be a part of it. We'll see. Who knows? The grappler, he's grappling online. He's sliding into DMs. The Wheel of Misfortune is coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the
Wheel of Misfortune.
Yes, here it is, the Wheel of Misfortune. We love it. Shout out to Confirm or Deny. That is no longer a part of the Wheel of Misfortune because Confirm or Deny stands on its own.
Yep.
Right? Confirm or Deny does its own thing Tuesdays at 6 o'clock. We'll be doing that on a weekly basis. But we're still going to spin the wheel. Could be Jerry. Could be role play level of concern. Maybe there's some originality. Who knows? You guys ready to spin?
Ready to rock.
Spin it and get to it.
My reputation precedes me. Otherwise, I'd be late for all my appointments.
Jerry Crum.
Wow.
PI, the game show. Wow.
Jerry Crum PI. How does it work?
Well, it's a little bit like role play, okay? Because we don't want to get too carried away. We want to make sure the audience can follow along here. But we're going to go around the table. We'll start with Jerry Crum PI. Noodles, you'll be a part of this. I will be a part of this as well. Each of us have been hired by a team, a company, whatever it might be, to solve some sort of mysterious case, all right? And we have to solve the case. And we have to explain basically what we found out and why we think this is either going to happen, won't happen, whatever. Okay, easy enough. Yep. You guys are good with this?
Ready to rock.
Okay, yeah. Jerry Crum, you're up first. The Maple Leafs have hired you to solve the mysterious case of Tavares and Nylander. Do they have a future playing together?
Jerry Crum has done a deep dive, private investigator, forensic type look at this scenario, and he's come up with only one solution, is sit down with both of the players and say, you guys make the money, you get everything that comes along with being a big time player in the NHL. We're not giving you a, there's obviously a chance this could happen in the future, but you two are going to fix this together. Just like when a GM comes in and says, I'm not going to make a trade. I'm not bringing in somebody from another team. This is where it's at. And you two are good enough, not only to be good enough yourselves, but to make a left winger good on that line too and help him provide offense. So if you think some magic savior like Mitch Marner is coming down from another line, which ultimately it could happen down the road, but right now it's you two, and I'll show you some clips of what you've done in the past where you've been on hot streaks. And it's you two and you two only, so figure your you-know-what out.
I like
That's
it.
What Jerry Crum has come to the conclusion.
Case?
It's just a theory.
Case Thank closed. You, Jerry Crum, yeah, I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
The juices are flowing here. This is great. I was a little bit concerned about how this might play out, but we're one for one. Noodles, you got to keep this thing rolling, man.
Let's do it.
Noodles, you have been hired by the Vancouver Canucks to solve the mysterious case of Jake Virtanen. Does he have a future in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I do. I think a trade at some point would be good for Virtanen. He's a Vancouver guy. He's young. I think there's a lot of pressure in that market for him to play immediately in the top six. He's a really good skater. He's a good hitter. But I think he's wildly inconsistent. I think there's a marketplace for him. And sometimes... you know, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence for a guy like that. So I still believe he's, yeah, you mentioned it in the league. Absolutely, he's a player.
Okay.
I think he's a player, but you're only as good as really what you can deliver night in and night out. And you're a guy who's in the press box. You're a guy who plays in the top six. You're in and out of shape. Like,
not good.
I think there's a lot of maturing that has to be done with this young player. So I think if I'm Vancouver, I look at the marketplace and really maybe you separate yourself from that player.
Okay, interesting investigation. I like it. There was a lot of detail put in it, and I'm missing these drops. They're so good. John Candy, a.k.a. Jerry Crum. Brian Hayes has been hired by the Toronto Blue Jays to solve the mysterious case of their starting staff. Do they have enough to compete for the playoffs? And I have done some serious stakeouts here. I was in Dunedin last night. Into this morning, don't tell anyone. There was no COVID testing. There's no quarantining. And that is why I am moving and shaking in the PI department. But, no, the answer is no. The answer is no. The case is closed. As it currently stands, they have one bona fide starter, Ryu. We know who he is. We know what he is. There was a reason he was up for the Cy Young last year. The drop-off is massive after that. Nate Pearson will get there eventually. I'm not convinced he's going to be there this year.
Maybe.
But that's another case for Jerry Crum, potentially down the road. We'll see. I mean, there's a budget here. Jerry Crum's expensive and he's busy. There's only so much we can do at this time. But what are you banking on here? Tanner Roark? Steven Matz? You know, you're banking on redemption projects here. And maybe one of them will hit. Maybe two. But I don't see how they put together a 1-5 that is going to put them in contention for the playoffs. I think it needs to be addressed. I think it will be. That's another little note that I'm willing to make at this juncture, that I believe at some point between the beginning of the season and the trade deadline, they will address the staff. They will bolster the staff because I think the bats will be there. I think the bullpen will be quality. And I think they can get there when all is said and done, but not based on that starting rotation right now.
I've got a black belt in Aikido and the boots to match.
Yep. That's right, Jerry Crum. Jerry Crum, PI, back in the clock here. You have been hired by the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour has hired you to solve the mysterious case of Dustin Johnson's dominance. Who has the best chance of surpassing him as the number one player in the world?
I have been looking at this one for weeks. Stakeouts, private eye type work, which I love. And I, Jerry Crum, have come to this conclusion. I don't know if John Rahm or Xander Schauffele are kind, you know how they're amazing players, but you don't really see them as that number one guy. As much as I think John Rahm is unbelievable, I don't really see him. It's just like he doesn't have the DNA to be number one. I look at a guy like Justin Thomas. I look at Morikawa. And a little guy that I know that just come off a knee injury named Brooks Koepka, I think will have their nostrils wide open and will be sniffing as hard as you can sniff at the world number one. And there's also been a wrinkle thrown into this, a man named Jordan Spieth. I'm Jerry Crum. If you let him roll some putts and he can get the driver back, who knows where this comeback is at? He has the DNA. Maybe Jordan Spieth is in the mix. I don't see Rahm. I don't see Schauffele as contenders for that number one spot.
What about your boy Rory McIlroy?
No, I was going to mention him. I think he's kind of in he's in a weird phase of his life. Not that family has anything to do with your performance on the golf course. Maybe it does. But he just seems happy to go lucky, to go out there, throw some quotes in there, finish top 10, and that's where he's at. I don't see that burning desire. Bomb it off the tee. Everybody watch my driver. I don't see that burning desire to be a top golfer in the world. I just don't see it.
Okay, I like that. Quality investigation. Thorough.
Now you know how good I really am.
That's right. Noodles, here we go. The NHL has hired you to solve the mysterious case of the best team in the league. Who should be the number one team in the power rankings as it currently stands?
Power, like Al's brother's power rankings?
Well, now, based,
or the
who
league?
Do you think is the best team? Based on your investigation, based on your analysis, in-depth, stakeouts, the whole nine. We haven't really broached this topic. You know, who is the best team in the NHL today?
I still think it's Tampa that has to be knocked off. Like, they didn't take a step back. The goaltender is still amazing. Hedman's still amazing. They're doing it without Kucherov, and all you did was take Kucherov out and plug Stamkos in. And by the time the playoffs comes around, Kucherov's going to be playing. So, and there's going to be no salary cap issue for them. So until Tampa, I still think there's about a 5 or 6 pack realistically, but it's Tampa for me. I've been leaning Colorado, but Colorado's still, you know, coming out of this COVID and all of that, they still haven't got into the groove. So I'm going to go with Tampa until further notice. And give me, you know, 2 weeks from now or whatever might change my look. But there's some teams that are sniffing around it that look pretty good.
It's just a theory. I'm with you. I mean, they're the champs until
someone
goes and steals
otherwise.
It from them. And they're going to run away. Maybe not run away with the division, but they're getting there. And they're going to – I think Kucherov is going to return come playoff time, right? I believe that's the plan.
That was the plan.
Who knows what he'll look like and what that'll be like. But I'm with you. I'm with you on Tampa. I think Boston clearly is still in the conversation. They've been great to their credit. Vegas has been good. Colorado. But, yeah, I'd go with Tampa. All right. I have been hired by Steve Nash to solve the mysterious case of the Brooklyn Nets. Will they turn it on defensively come playoff time and dominate the East? Yes, my investigation leads me to say yes, I believe that they will. I think they're well aware of their talent. I think they're well aware of the weaknesses in the East, as we addressed at 4 o'clock, and we'll get into more in about an hour with our boy Matt Devlin. And I think they know they need to do this for James Harden, basically. Like, Kevin Durant has his 2 rings. Kyrie Irving has his ring. James Harden does not. James Harden is one of the all-time great talents, all-time great scorers. I get the impression like he's beloved by those two guys. He's close with both guys, and I think that'll permeate through the room. They know they have the talent to run through the East. If they defend, and if that message can get across, and I have to believe Steve Nash, based on my investigation, is hammering that message home day in, day out, I believe that will be the case.
I have a question for Jerry Crum.
I can't go against Brooklyn. Yeah, go ahead.
If Kyrie won his and LeBron was the guy, LeBron was the leader, and I think Durant went to Golden State and there was Steph Curry who was kind of the guy there. So which one of the three, or which one of the two, is it Kyrie or Durant that's going to be that guy, that's going to direct traffic, that's going to lead the way, where James Harden can say, okay, I'm following that? Or is it ultimately James Harden going to be the guy?
I think
Jerry Crum.
I think Jerry Crum would suggest, based on my investigation, that Kevin Durant would be that guy. Generally speaking, in the NBA, whoever has the most talent, regardless of position, size, style, that's the alpha dog. That's the guy who leads. Now, it is a unique position for Durant. You're right. And I think that's a very, very compelling argument you're making there, or question you're bringing up.
I bet you if you ask Kyrie, he would not agree with the statement.
Kyrie might think in his own world that he is somehow LeBron James and Magic Johnson and Larry Bird morphed
all wrapped into one.
He probably thinks that. But Durant has not been in this position. You're right. He was insulated in Golden State. He was their best player just based on talent, but that was Steph's team. It was Steph Curry's team. It was Klay Thompson's team. It was Draymond Green's team probably before Kevin Durant in terms of him having to answer for anything. So does he have that capability? We'll find out. We will find out, but it should be Durant. Like, if Durant is healthy and playing, he's still a top three or four player in the world. So there you go. We got three more. I say we do Jerry Crum after dark. Whoa. Should we get to that around 6:45?
That would be amazing.
Oh, my God.
One more horny investigation.
So
we'll do that in about
an hour.
And
I will wear my Jerry Crum hat for that.
Yes. Okay. So because it's a little bit later, a little bit darker, I think we can get away with a wardrobe change. So we'll save three more. Jerry Crum after dark in about an hour. I think that went pretty well. You know, I think it's pretty
simple. It's as good as it gets as far as sports talk radio.
Yeah. Very creative, very original. And, you know, we don't pat ourselves on the back too often.
No,
but for me,
never.
That was worthy of potentially doing that again down the road. We'll see.
I agree.
Jerry Crum after dark in about an hour. Our buddy Matt Devlin in about 45 minutes. Dregs coming up, our hockey insider at 6:05. Leafs in action tonight. We'll get back into it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Jerry Crum's after dark in about an hour. Our buddy Matt Devlin on a big win by the Raptors last night. They're back in Milwaukee taking on the Bucks tomorrow, and they got Philly coming up. They got Minnesota again coming up. A little redemption for the Raptors, I think. So we'll catch up with Matty D and Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, in about 15 minutes. Oh, you sent me this this clip. We couldn't find the audio. We've only seen it in print of the GM down in Pittsburgh, Big Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. And Kevin Colbert, the GM, said, quote, "As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He reiterated to us that he wants to continue to play. We told him we have to look at this current situation."
Do you want me to, Jamie, dissect what we need to look at this current situation means?
That is a polite way. We're gonna figure out a way how to make him go away in a respectful manner, because he's been so important to our organization. Because if you get the, hey, he's coming back, he's a part of our organization, we never thought, like, we want him here next year, you get the vote of confidence.
Yeah. Another factor is what's also available out there with possible trades. You're like, we could have a guy like Deshaun Watson as our quarterback right now. Maybe they're sniffing around at Carson Wentz. Who knows? But sometimes when there's something else out there, you're like, man, we're going to go back with crickety old Ben now, and we could have this. It's like, this guy's going to need some WD-40 on his kneecaps next year to even wheel around anywhere on that field. So I know there was a love fest early on. I believe they started at 11-0, and everyone's like, man, we're awesome. Big Ben's going to be back forever. That quickly changed, and I think they want him gone.
Yeah, I think there was probably a moment in time where ownership or the manager looked at each other, was like, it's time.
Yeah.
And it may have been after a certain game where they had, you know, they have their internal meetings and go, you know, there has to be a succession plan. There has to be the next person.
Well,
up.
The stats would tell you that alone. I mean, the amount of games they lost, but furthermore, Roethlisberger could not throw the ball down the field. Like, this is he had Tommy John this time last year. Tommy John. You don't see that very often with quarterbacks, and he had it. And by the end of the year, when the weather picks up, it's an outdoor stadium in a, you know, winter, northeast, midwest-type climate, and you could tell he just couldn't get the ball down the field. Even if this is in relation to the salary cap or the team wanting to keep their options open, doesn't necessarily mean for sure Roethlisberger is done. But to your point, it is not a vote of confidence.
No.
You know, like, if you ask Bruce Arians, hey, what's up with Brady next year? He's like, what a dumb question. He's our quarterback.
Right.
You know, get lost. Scram. The fact that this GM did not come out and say, Ben wants to be back, we want him back, this is awesome, and we'll work everything else out, is really, really loud.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty clear that they are exploring other options.
That's
and the
cryptic.
Reason you would do that. It's cryptic. The reason you would do that is because you don't believe he can play anymore.
No.
That's
and,
it.
And let's just say their nostrils are open.
Yes.
They basically have told, like, if it's already out in the media, Ben Roethlisberger and his agent, like, have been told, like, we're exploring other options.
Yeah.
And we got to figure out, like, you, again, it's a how you treat this gentleman. He,
deserves
respect.
It there.
That's
he deserves
my point.
It there. His number will be retired. He's won Super Bowls.
Right. So you got to be careful. You got to tread lightly. But if they're moving past him, that was cryptically exactly what
that
I interpreted
ugly,
from
man.
That.
We all did, but that can get ugly. Like, if Ben just says, good for you, but I'm coming back and playing. Like,
Ben's
going to
play
contract.
The role of Houston management, saying, yeah, very funny. I'm still here.
Right. If the roles are reversed.
Yeah.
The team wants you out, and the player's like, I don't care what you say. I'm playing. Final hour coming up. Darren Dreger, Matt Devlin, Jerry Crum after dark. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.